Simon Reish Gimel. Al Eze Kara Vatinik Misablim, on which relative or Tinik or child does one sit Shiva, meaning to say on what level of closeness, and also there has to be a certain level of viability that the child is viable to be for there to be obligation to sit Shiva, as we're going to learn in this Simon. Sif Aleph. Al Shiva Krevim on seven relatives, Chayavim Misabil, there's obligation to mourn. Aviv Imai, parents, Bnei Bitoi, children, Achav Achaisai, brothers and sisters, Bein Min Av, Bein Min Av, Me'im, whether or not it's from the father's side or from the mother's side. Now, in the previous siman, when we discussed the laws of a kohen defiling himself, it was only siblings from the father's side, and it was only an unmarried sister. Over here, as far as the laws of mourning, it's any sibling, even a half-sibling from either side, and makes no difference whether or not the sister was married or not. V'afilu ha'yisa achayis nesu'a l'ish, even if the sister was married. Ha'ish al ishtai. So that's true as well, that one sits shiva, one mourns for a married sister that passes away, and ha'ish al ishtai, a husband on a wife, ha'ish al baila, and a wife on a husband. Now there is an important discussion about the unfortunate situation when you have a husband and wife that are technically married, but they basically are separated because they don't get along. And the question is, how does this affect the laws of sitting Shiva? Now, the Yamshel Shleimah writes that if they're not living together, we can say they're separated because there's a disagreement, then there is no obligation to sit Shiva. Now, he based this on understanding that what about when it comes to inheritance? We know that the husband has certain rights to inherit from his wife. Now, what about if also they're in discord between them? So the Yafresh Lama understands as well that he does not have a right in that situation, and therefore he doesn't have a right to the money, and he doesn't have an obligation to sit Shiva. Other Achrayim disagree, and based on the Ramah seems to not go with the opinion of the Rashbam, who says that a husband doesn't inherit a wife if there's discord between them, for whatever reason. And because of that, they understand that as long as there's a technical marriage here, that there is an obligation that he does inherit, and there is also a halacha of avelus that avelus still applies. Now, this is obviously a question that could be asked to a rav, but this is a little bit of a discussion about how do we determine what's considered husband and wife as far as the laws of avelus is concerned. Sif Beis discusses a custom about other relatives, so taking upon some ways of demonstrating avelus. Now there's the custom brought in Shulchan Aruch, brought in the Ramah, is more about grandchildren, about a grandparent. Now, that could be out of respect to the grandparent. That could be also out of respect to the parent, that since the parent is sitting Shiva, that the children should show some forms of mourning. The Kitzur over here brings some elaborate customs as far as depending on the closeness of the relative, even though it's not one of the seven relatives, they still observe some sort of avila, some sort of mourning. Now, again, my understanding is that a prevalent custom is not to do that. It's basically only a child on a grandparent. And even then, it could be that that's only if it's in the same city and the parent wants the child to do so. Whereas if the parent, let's say, there's a simcha, there's an occasion in the city, and the parent would rather the child goes and partakes in it because they can't, because they're in avelus, then it's fine. You know, meaning to say that the question really is the obligation on the grandchild an obligation because the grandparent passed away, or is it more just out of respect to a parent? So it seems that the prevalent custom is more to view it as an obligation to the parent, and it has to do with what their living parent wants or not. But the kids over here shows a very elaborate customs as far as observing certain types of mourning when a relative, even though they're not one of the close relatives, when that relative passes away. This is what we're going to learn right now in Sif Beis. Noyagim, there's a custom in the places of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Shigam Sharkroivim Marum Ktasavelos, that even other relatives who are not part of these seven close relatives demonstrate some havelos, some signs of mourning, Ba'atzvam in themselves, Shavu Harishan Adachar Shabbos, the first week, being even a full 7 days, interestingly, but until Shabbos, and after Shabbos, that's, I guess, the stronger part of the mourning of the havelos. She'ein Rechasim B'chama, that they don't wash with hot water, Ve'emashanan Ktas B'gdeim, and they don't change all their clothing, K'moy B'shar Shabbos, like on other Shabbosim, they put on all new clothing, or freshly laundered clothing. Over here, they keep on some of the weekday clothing. Ve'ein Kolakrevim Shavim B'zeh, but this depends on the closeness, Im Hoyusheni B'sheni, if it's more distant, Oy Ben B'noy, Oy Ben Bito, or grandchild, Leivish Kol B'gdei Shabbos, they wear all the Shabbos clothing, Chutzubeged Elyon, except the outer garment, that should be the weekday. V'alchom v'chamaisa, and on an in-law, or on a grandparent, v'chen isha alchamea v'chamaisa, or a woman on her in-law, v'avi aviyah, ayavi ima, or a grandparent, and in life shemrak sinus lefana, then they wear even less big day Shabbos, they just wear the white shirt, the white tunic, but they don't do more than that. V'ishagam tse'if, Lavan, and also she could also wear this white scarf, but not more than that. V'chein aminik, and that was the custom, I guess, in the places of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Shalei leilech leveis amerchatz v'lelochav sarayish, not to go to the bathhouse and to comb the hair when the relative is mourning. Gam ein lechol chutz lebeisai, also not to go out and eat, levis dismiss, levis dismirayim, even in a suit of a mitzvah or friendship. U'l'achas Shabbos mutar b'chol davar, but once Shabbos passes, it's permitted in everything. So again, according to the Kitzur, it seems that the first part of the week that one does not wash and do other things, as I mentioned to you, my understanding is the prevalent custom is mainly for a grandparent, and that is out of respect to the parent that's sitting Shiva. That would be not to go to a wedding or something in the same city, but to shower and bathe, that it seems that the prevalent custom is, at least in many circles, is to be lenient on that. Sif Gimel. Now the Kitzur just deals with this whole issue about what's called a viable fetus or baby born that one sets Shiva for. And basically, in the times of Chazal, a seven-month pregnancy or a nine-month pregnancy, that was considered to be normal. An eighth month, for some reason, those babies did not make it. They did not do well. And those were not considered to be viable. Now, what we know is that if a child would live for 30 days, that shows that they're viable, and therefore they have the full status of a regular person. However, until the 30 days, they don't have the full status of a regular person, and therefore, when it comes to the laws of Avelos, we don't sit Shiva. Now, part of the reason is also because when a person is very ill, and they had what's called a chazkas chai, they had like this chazaka, this assumed ability to live, so then that doesn't get taken away from them so fast. But when we have this baby that's just born, so they never really had that ability to live independently, because they were living with the mother, in the mother's body, and so until that it's established that they have the ability to live on their own for 30 days, then they're not considered to be fully their own person, that one has to sit Shiva for them. Now let's read the Kitzur, and then we can discuss more the applications of this. Tinek she'ena yedua im kol chadasha imloi. Now, if we know for sure that this is a full-term baby, so then there's no concern that it was not viable. So really, for this halachas at least, it would not need the 30 days. But the question is, it's always difficult to know, especially in those days. They didn't have any ultrasounds. It's very difficult for them to know what the development was. So it says the following. Tinek she'ena yedua. It's not known whether or not it's a full term or not. He may specific shloshim yom. So if the child passed away within 30 days, feel biyom shloshim, and even on day 30, feel gamru sarvitzi parnav, and even if the hair and fingernails were developed, which would be a sign that it was full term, and karen alav, one does not perform kriya, the renting of the garment, the ain. Einanim alav, and one does not have the status of an einin. The aim is avlin alav, and there's not an obligation to mourn. Mishum to have a suffix nefil, because it's a doubt whether it's a nefil. Now, the question is, well, if it's a doubt, so why aren't we stringent because of the doubt? So that could be one of two answers. One is because at least avel is, at least mourning is rabbinic. So if it's a rabbinic obligation, so we say suffix derabbanon lakula, that a doubt on the rabbinic obligation would be lakula. And this is a general rule we find in Hilchos Avelos, Halacha Kedivrei Amekel Ba'Evel, that when it comes to Avelos, we generally follow the more lenient opinion. But besides for that, we also have an issue here that in Halacha, when you have a doubt, and then there's an assumed status, so we follow the assumption. Now, because this this fetus, this baby, didn't have a chazaka, didn't have an assumed status as being viable, so therefore we assume that it wasn't viable until it's proven otherwise. This unfortunately happens when a couple has if they have a stillborn, that even though it could possibly have lived, but something happened unfortunately. But since we don't know and we didn't see that it lived for 30 days, so therefore generally they do not sit shiva. There is an obligation that should be buried properly, and the Chavar Kadisha should be called. But as far as obligation to tear Kriya and to sit Shiva, that we do not have until it lives for 30 days. Now, V'im Meis L'Acha Shloshim Yom, if it passed away after 30 days, V'afilu B'yom Shloshim V'Echon, even on the 31st day, Karim Shashar Shanel B'Yom, even though you didn't have a full 31 days. Kairan alav, ainin alav, once already it passed 30 days, even if only a little bit of a day, then we give it all the halachas of kriya, of renting the garments, ainin alav, and the status of an ainin who is obligated to bury the one that passed away, and therefore is absolved from mitzvahs. So all those things it still has, it was avam alav, and there's an obligation to mourn. Elam King, that's Babir, unless it's clearly unknown, Shirak ben Shmoyna Chadashim, that was only 8 months. So then we know that in the times of Chazal, at least, those fetuses were not viable at all, and therefore, it would not have the status of a ben Kayama, of a someone who is viable. This is what the Kitzur adds in the parentheses, Dalad Bar Kayama. V'im yodua bever shu ben tisha chadashim, but if we know for sure that it's 9 month pregnancy, again shabal perish, that the husband and wife had relations and then they were not with each other, so it can't be from later. V'nel chay l'tishim chadashim gemurim, and lived and it was born after a full 9 months. Afilu meis b'yom shenel, but even if it died right after birth, karen alav ainin alav u'masavam alav, we give it the full halachas of kriya, of renting the garment. And einin and being involved and with the burial and absolved from mitzvahs, misabam love and mourning. Now there are a number of different scenarios that unfortunately come up that need to be discussed. So one scenario would be that what would be the status of a baby that is 30 days old and passed away, but that 30 days it was in an incubator. Now the incubator could be viewed as a number of ways. The incubator could be viewed as an extension of the womb of the mother, and therefore we don't consider this child to be born yet. On the other hand, we could look at the incubator just as a more as part of the child, and therefore just like a person who needs some sort of medicine or machinery to help them live, but we see they're an independent person. So it's possible to view the incubator as well. This is a discussion that many contemporary Paiskim have, and some feel it to be like a doubt, and therefore, again, once it's a doubt, then it falls back on the same concept, that when there's a doubt in these halachas, that we say they do not have to sit shiva. Now, this discussion you could really take further and say, well, what happens if things turn out well and this baby was in the incubator for, say, 2 weeks, and then it comes out after 2 weeks, and then it's fine. So now, when it comes to the laws of Pidyon HaBen, when it comes to the laws of redeeming the firstborn, that has to be done after 30 days. So when do you count the 30 days from? From when it was actually born, do you say from when it left the incubator? Because that's when it became independent. Now, there should be basically two schools of thought with this, which is basically either we consider the incubator to be an extension of the mother. Therefore, if a child was in an incubator, then we look at it basically the birth to be when it left the incubator, which would make it that you don't have a 30 days for the laws of Avelis, and you don't have the 30 days for the laws of Pidyon HaBen. Or you look at it then, no, that the child is on its own and it's just helping out, and therefore you should have an obligation of Avelis, and you should also be able to count the 30 days from Pidyon HaBen right away. Now, it seems that the common practice is that if it left the incubator after 30 days, that we don't, if it left the incubator before 30 days, that we count from the time of actual birth. On the other hand, it seems that the prevalent custom is that if a child is in the incubator for a month and then passes away in the incubator, that they did not touch Shiva. Now, the reason could be that if at the end of the day, the child comes out of the incubator and is okay, so then really what we view the incubator is as just being a helper. Whereas if the child was so sick that they can never get out of the incubator, then we really can never view the child as being born on its own. But again, the bottom line is that when it comes to the laws of Pidyon HaBen, that it is a dispute, it is a question. But again, the prevalent custom seems to be, if the baby's out of the incubator, then one could do the Pidyon HaBen if it's 30 days from birth. When it comes to the laws of Avelis, definitely if the child is still in the incubator, that one does not set Shiva for the child. Now, another situation would be, and unfortunately this is not all that uncommon, which is the child is born, say, with serious issues, say, heart issues, and they certain surgeries were done, and say they were in an incubator, were not in an incubator, let's assume that they were still in the incubator, and it's been a few months. But we also have an issue over here, and this Rav Chasko Roth has a whole piece on this in his Sefer Emek HaTshuva, which is over here, the child was not just lacking in development. The child was born with a fundamental defect, so it had the status of like a trefa, of something that can't live for 12 months. And coupled on that, it had the fact that it never had that cheskas chai, it never had it assumed being able to live. So basically the point is that it's very difficult to say that a child like that, who's living in an incubator, even for a few months, but is so compromised and is so limited because of the way it was born, it's very difficult to say that it has the full status of a chai, of a viable individual, and therefore the family would not be obligated to sit Shiva. Now, obviously, if the family wants to sit Shiva, then that could be something else. But many times in these situations, because the child is so young and there's no relationship with the child, it becomes very difficult for them. And that's why it's important to understand that there is a room for leniency in these types of situations. Now the kitzur continues with Sif Dalet. To Umim, what about twins? Shemes Echad Mehem, Tochler Shleishim. That one died within 30, and Philip Yemach Shleishim, even on the 30th day. Vashen Echai, and the other one was fine. Lacher Shleishim lived longer. Layam Rinan, we don't say, Midezeh Chai Lacher Shleishim, that since the sibling lived, Gam Harishon, Hayach Ben Chayam, we see that shows that the other one probably could have also lived. So therefore, if they died, then we have to keep the full laws of Avelis. El Enus Avam Alav, we don't do that, we look at each one separately. This is what the Kitzur says. Sif Hey. Gera Giyiris, a convert, Shinis Gairu in Benayim, even if the whole family converted, Amos Avam Zelza, they don't have an obligation to the Shiva, the Gershon is Sky, like a Kaddish and Eldami, you know, the one undergoes a conversion, they're like reborn. And therefore their closeness is not that they had when they were not Jewish. So when they become Jewish, they don't have the same halachic relationship. Now, there is a discussion, let's say, about what about adoptive parents. So obviously there's no actual obligation to Shiva for adoptive parents, but it is discussed about an idea of respect for the adoptive parents to show some sort of Shiva or some mourning. Not worse than what the kids are mentioned about other relatives that one could show some mourning. So obviously, based on that idea, you know, if parents as a whole family is a Megayer converts, and they wanna, and obviously it's definitely a correct thing for the children to show at least certain forms of mourning out of respect to their parents. And over here, it's even more so because it is actually their biological parents. So this concludes the halachas of what relatives one has to sit shiva for, as well as the viability of a fetus or a born child, as far as when one has to sit shiva and when does not.